We're thankful to be in God's house. We're so glad when they say unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. What a joy it is. As we come on this beautiful fall day, we're thankful that our Lord reigns, that He is indeed clothed with majesty, that He's clothed with strength and honor, and that He is established and His throne cannot be moved. Before we go into God's Word this morning, I want to sing a wonderful song that I enjoy singing from time to time. Find us faithful. We know, without any doubt, that God is always faithful to you and me. The question I ask myself, am I faithful to Him? Too many times I can't answer yes. Lord, find us faithful. Led to take a break from my series of messages from the book of Acts, probably until after the holidays. But this morning I would like to turn to the book of the Psalms of David, Psalms chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27, we find here David encouraging himself as he goes, and his desire is that he might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That he might dwell in God's house while he lives on this earth. And then one day, when the Lord calls him home and us home, that we might dwell with him forever. Let us read Psalm 27, verses 1 through 4, by way of introduction. He says, Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." Join your hearts with mine in prayer. Heavenly Father, now we're thankful for the privilege we have to be in Thy house this morning. One thing is our heart's desire, that we may seek after it, that we may dwell in Your house forever, and behold Your beauty as we inquire in Thy holy temple. Father in heaven, we pray that You may touch our hearts, thankful for the revival services we had the privilege to be a part of last week with Elder Steve Taylor in the Flat Rock Church, and we're thankful that we have the presence, the power, and the punch of Thy Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray Thy Holy Spirit may attend to our worship now of Thee. Be with our nation's leaders, the military, our military personnel, the unborn children. Be with us that we might have revival in our hearts and lives. And be with my mother-in-law and my dear wife and daughter at this time, and all others. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. David, as you recall, was in exile. He was on the run from King Saul, who sought to kill him. Because of his green-eyed jealousy, King Saul desired to destroy David. And so he came against him at many times, and David was in exile in the wilderness with 300 mighty men. But in the midst of that dark period in David's life, he said, "The Lord is my light." And He's still your light and my light today. When the Scriptures tell us that the Lord is my light, it reminds me of the very beginning of the Bible, where He says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, "The Lord is my light." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So when David says, "The Lord is my light," He's speaking that God Himself, He is our light. He is the one who illuminates the darkness of this world in which we live. As a matter of fact, God Himself was the light of His creation even before He created the natural sun and stars. And so we find, by nature, we live in darkness. By nature, we're born dead in trespasses and in sins. And by nature, our eyes and our hearts are spiritually dark. And we cannot see God. We cannot discern anything spiritual in nature. But when the Spirit of the Lord, who has given us regeneration, when He has empowered us and raised us from life, from death to life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters in the beginning of creation, then the light of God is imparted into your heart and mine, and we have His light to guide us no matter where we are in this old dark world. So He says, the Lord, He is my light, but not only is He my light, He is my salvation. David recognized that God was his salvation, not just eternally. Yes, he knew that the Lord was his salvation to go to heaven after he died. But he also knew that the Lord was his Savior day by day. He knew that regardless of whether he walked in good times or in bad times, that God was his salvation day by day. Knowing that, he asked, "Whom shall I fear?" Jesus, and I've mentioned this several times recently, Matthew chapter 10. Jesus told his own disciples, "Do not fear what man may do unto you, but rather fear me," he in essence said, "because man may kill the body, but they cannot touch our soul and our spirit." And so we find, "Whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He is our strength. The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "When I am weak, then am I strong in the Lord." Paul said that my strength is made perfect in my weakness. He recognized that when he knew and he acknowledged how weak he was apart from God, then he knew how strong he was in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And so David recognized that same truth, that the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, we shouldn't fear anyone knowing those grand truths. And then in verses 2 and 3, he talks about the wicked. And he talks about the enemies of his soul, the enemies of righteousness. We as God's dear children, as we live in this life, we're faced with enemies in opposition every day. Our chief enemy is the devil, because we find the Apostle Peter teaches it in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he says this, "Be sober," in verse 8, "and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He is our adversary. He's the enemy of our soul, the enemy of all that is right and good. So how are we to combat the devil? He says, by being sober and by being vigilant. That is, that we are to be very clear-minded, and we are to be on the watch, vigilant, just like soldiers, we're always watching for the enemy. And we find that we're always to be on guard. We should never be found asleep at our post. He says, be vigilant, be sober. And he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Oh, that the Lord would find us faithful. We need to be found steadfast in the faith. And then he gives us some encouraging words, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So Peter there would tell us, don't think that we are alone in our fight against evil. We're not. All of God's children, wherever we may be, we're all in this fight together. And the same afflictions are accomplished in our brothers and sisters who are in the world. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, are we? You know, Jesus taught us that in His priestly prayer in John 17. But we find that we can resist our enemy steadfast in the faith. Back in James chapter 4, he teaches us how we resist in James chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. In James chapter 4, 7 and 8, James said, how do we resist the devil? By doing the following. Submitting yourselves, or submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So as we resist the devil, we do that by submitting ourselves to the lordship and the leadership of God, our Heavenly Father. And we do that as we draw nigh unto God. We have to draw closer to Him. We sung a moment ago the hymn, Close to Thee. And that's how we submit ourselves to the Lord, by drawing nigh unto Him. Draw nigh to God, and He, in turn, will draw nigh to you. So here's a conditional promise. The Lord commands and encourages you and me to draw closer to Him. Now, we can only draw closer to Him as we put off the sinful deeds of the natural flesh. Put off the old man and put on the new man, as Paul said in other scriptures. And He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We have two minds. The natural mind that is corrupt, but then we also have the mind of Christ living in our heart. Paul said, let this mind be in you, over in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind, the mind of Christ, be in you. And be not double-minded, but rather be afflicted and mourn and weep. Weep over our own sin. Let our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness. Then he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. God will lift us up. So David says, when the wicked, in Psalm 27, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, what happened to them? They stumbled and fell. How? Why? Because the Lord was on David's side and God was protecting David. And He gave him victory over his enemies. They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, David said, my heart shall not fear. though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Remember, I mentioned it last Sunday, that our confidence must not be in man. Man will inevitably let us down. Our confidence must be in God. David said the same thing in Psalms 118. Let not our confidence be in man, but rather in God. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. His heart was fixed. His heart was totally focused on serving the Lord. He says in Psalms 108 and verse 1, O God, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise even with my glory. So his heart was wholly toward the Lord. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and this one thing will I seek after. So notice, he has to be active in this pursuit, not passive. We have to be active in our pursuit to worship God. We have to be active in our pursuit to serve the Lord. It is an active engagement that must take place. One thing have I desired, this one thing I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We're thankful for every opportunity we have to meet and assemble ourselves in the local assembly of God's church. Remember, the writer of Hebrews told us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, during this year of pandemic, we know that in many cases over the last many months that we were not able to come together. But many of us are able to come together now, and we're so thankful for it. And we pray to God that soon this virus pandemic will be over. And so his desire was to dwell in God's house, but not just talking about coming to the physical location of God's house on the Lord's Day, as important as that is, but also dwelling, I believe, in the very presence of God every day, wherever we may be. Yes, every day we can, and we do have the privilege of entering into the presence of the Lord. Remember that Paul says that his desire was to enter into God's presence, and that we might enter into His kingdom on a daily basis. But it takes work on our part. It takes diligence on our part. We must put off the sinful deeds of our flesh, and we must pray and earnestly seek Him with all of our heart. And then we must get into His Word and study it and pray that God would lead us. Then he also says that his prayer is that he might behold the beauty of the Lord. God is beautiful. He is beautiful. Now, we have not seen all of God's beauty with these natural eyes. Now, when we behold His creation, we can look in awe at the beauty of God's creation. And God's creation is magnificently beautiful. The heavens have declared the glory of God, David said in Psalms chapter 19. He said it concerning creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. But God's creation, as beautiful as it is, does not compare to how glorious and how beautiful God Himself is. You remember that God allowed Moses to see his hinder parts on one occasion, and he was so beautiful and glorious that his face shone with the glory of God for many days afterward. Someday, we're going to see Him face to face. You know, Job said, "Someday mine own eyes shall see Him and not another's face to face." But we would love to behold, we want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you know another place that we can see the beauty of the Lord? In one another. I see the beauty of the Lord in you today. And I hope that you can see the beauty of the Lord in me. We can see the beauty of the Lord in one another when we're striving to live according to God's Word and will. But during times of disobedience, when we allow our flesh to rule, then we become ugly. But we want to be beautiful. We want God's beauty to shine through us. And then he says, that I might inquire in his temple. And I believe that speaks of prayer. Prayer and supplication. And that's what we need. The effectual, fervent prayers of God's children avail very much. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We should not be anxious about anything, but we should take everything unto the Lord. As the hymn says, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." Our problem is, we'll do that, but when we're finished praying, we'll too often, we will take those burdens back on our own shoulders instead of leaving them with God. We need to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them with Him, because He's the only one that can take care of all these things. And so he says in verse 5, look in verse 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock." He will protect us from all the forces of evil in this old world we live in. God will hide us. He will protect us. And then he says, verse 6, "And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me." God will lift me up. Repeatedly the scriptures say, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He will lift us up." "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy upon me and answer me." And He did. He answered David. He answers you and me today. When thou, O Lord, said, "Seek ye my face," my heart said to thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." We're to seek Him early while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. He prays, "Don't hide your face far from me. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant, don't put me away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Don't leave me, Lord. We know the answer to that. God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He goes on and says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And I really think there he might be talking about when our parents pass away even. And when our parents are with us and help us along life's way, but they're only mortals, and our parents will go home to be with the Lord, and we may still be here. Even when our mothers and fathers are no longer with us, the Lord, He takes us up and He carries us. And we are to be taught His way. He says, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path, because mine enemies are seeking to destroy my soul. Don't deliver me over to the will of mine enemies, because false witnesses are risen against me." You know, false witnesses came against Jesus. False witnesses have always arisen against God's people, breathing out cruelty. David said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It would have been easy for him to faint and give up unless he had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he did. He saw the goodness of God. You and I today, we have seen and we're still seeing the goodness of the Lord on every hand, if we'll just but look for it. And then he says a wonderful closing verse. "Wait, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, sometimes it's hard to wait on the Lord. But what did the prophet Isaiah say about waiting on Him? I want to close with this in Isaiah chapter 40. He says in verse 28 to 31 of Isaiah 40, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, and neither is weary? There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But," and we love these buts in the Bible, "but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and shall not faint." So always be of good courage. God's on His throne. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God blesses is my prayer for Christ's sake.